Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Happy Summer's Day.
Party Friday!
It's a beautiful day out there. Chuck Bonnell and Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, brought to you by
AmericasCitizenPress.com, a great website for conservative voices. Carry a lot of columns by Tom Tancredo, by the way, who's going to be on at the bottom of the hour. Yeah. Plus, Julie McCallan and Denver Cenogenics, keeping Chuck alive, yes, as we also. In fact, you got an appointment coming up here in a couple of weeks.
I do.
Those are very motivating for Chuck. Hey, a lot to talk about today. We've got Karen Cavallin coming up, want to weigh in on the Simone Biles situation. Tom Tancredo, you know that you're over the target when they start shooting at you. Chuck and his merry band are now the targets.
Full of holes.
Full of holes, but they're all being shot by the same gun. So we'll explain that with Tom Tancredo. But wanted to open things up, first of all, with former El Paso County Sheriff's Investigator Mark Poff. He's done a great job filling in for us, and he will be filling in for us again on Monday. We have another junior PGA event to go to. So, hey, Mark, thank you for your time today. What do you got coming up on Monday?
Well, Monday, we're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff. But first, I just wanted to tell Chuck.
Sir, there is something on your chin.
Yes.
Here, so now, Chuck, wipe it and then eat it. No, that's disgusting. Did you see that?
What we're talking about is Joe Biden.
He had a news conference, and he has his whole thing on his chin the whole time. And so they hand him a note that
Sir, you have something on your chin, and he eats it.
And he wipes it off and then eats it. I'm like,
Well, hopefully I'm good. It's Friday, so I'm wearing my Hawaiian shirt. But on Monday, I'm kind of looking forward to it. John St. Augustine's going to be on as well, and we're going to talk about some stuff. But the first thing I'm going to talk about is the triangle. The judicial system. Isn't that nice how I can throw?
I like how you did that. Home. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that cool? That's the computer guy in me. But I want to talk about the judicial system and how basically the liberals are trying to completely destroy the whole system. They're attacking all three parts of this. This is the basic, what they teach you when you go into law enforcement or if you become an attorney or whatever. They teach you how the whole judicial system works. Well, how ironic that they're actually attacking all three avenues of the judicial system. I just want to first talk about how... you know, it's a very fragile system to begin with. And then when you have people in there that have ulterior motives, then you can really blow the whole system up. You know, one example is the court system is to judge people. But what if you have a DA that never files charges?
Yeah.
You know, they let murderers out. The judges can't say, hey, wait a minute, bring that guy in. I want to prosecute him, because they're not prosecutors. They're judges. So when you have corrupt prosecutors, they can jack the whole system. So I'm going to talk about that on Monday. And then the second thing is want to talk young man.
Wow.
Yeah. This is crazy. I was actually teaching. I still teach down at the college, and they brought this up to me and I didn't know anything about it. You know, so I went 5 days and didn't know, you know, anything about this, but this is crazy. And I would encourage people to go over the weekend and Google Aurora arrest or Aurora police beat up unarmed man. You know, just Google it. You'll see the whole video. It's out on YouTube. The Aurora PD has already come out and basically condemned what's happened. But I really want to talk about that and kind of go through step by step that whole process. I mean, it really, even for me, and I've seen a lot of things working on numerous homicides, I was a little shocked by that video.
But you normally are not encouraged to pistol whip guys, I think
it's in no training whatsoever. I've never been trained to pistol whip anybody. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen, but John and I are going to go through that step by step. And then John's going to bring up another one that we'll talk about. So we'll have three segments to the show on Monday.
Well, that's great. If people don't know, John St. Augustine was wrongfully prosecuted down in El Paso County, showing the
the corruption,
the corruption that, that can happen in the system. Forget about it when you have a system where you have DAs who won't prosecute anybody. Having DAs who have a personal vendetta against people is so not a good thing.
Yeah.
Right. If you Google, actually over the weekend, something else to do, Google Sheriff Elder lawsuit, you'll see another one that just went through the Court of Appeals. It's a great case with a sergeant, Duda, who actually supported the other person running for sheriff. So after Elder got reelected, he just fired this guy and said it was for doing political stuff on duty. But as it turns out, all of his people were doing political stuff for him on duty. So you should really read that. But if you Google that, that's a real interesting case as well. But hopefully John's going to get a nice settlement. Things are going well.
Well, and the revealing stuff. All right. Well, Mark, thank you. I know you had a busy afternoon. Appreciate you popping in.
And we're going to have to figure out how you did this.
I know. Yeah. I need to hire your computer guy. All right. Mark. Thank you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. All right, everybody. I know we have to figure out how to do that. All right. Now I'd like to bring up our fellow talk show host and friend, Karen Cataline. We were talking last Wednesday. I threw in my, 2 cents, probably more of 25 cents worth about the Simone Biles. For folks who maybe like the millions of people who are not paying attention to the Olympics. She's
the smart people.
Yeah, the smart people. She's an Olympic gymnast. Considered perhaps the greatest of all time. Dropped out of the team competition, saying that basically it was because of her mental health issues.
She has twisties.
She has too many issues. Her head wasn't in the right place. Yeah. And it's not clear whether she's going to participate in her individual things.
She didn't participate in the all-around individual things. And another girl who's in, 16, 17, 18, who was parents of refugees from Laos, did and won the whole thing. And so I must admit that Shirley should be the one we're celebrating rather than talking about Simone Biles.
And what's bizarre about this is she's being celebrated as a hero all over the place. They're calling her a hero. And wanted to bring Karen Cataline on because I know she has thoughts and also has a kind of an interesting conspiracy theory. But Karen, before we get to the conspiracy theory, I just wanted to talk to you because you have a background in psychology and sociology. And what I was saying the other day is the problem with this is, if Simone Biles has too many mental health issues that she can't participate at the epitome of her career and the biggest event that she's trained her whole life for, I feel kind of sorry for her.
It's not something that should be celebrated. It'd be something that is sad. I mean, it really is sad that you worked all your life. This is your great chance and you're too mentally messed up to even compete. It shouldn't be a heroic hooray for you. That's just too sad.
What she really needs is her parents to spin her around and shove her back out there and say, what are you talking about? Get out there. But Karen, let's talk a little about, to me, it's much bigger than her. The worst thing is the celebration of weakness and
her mental problems.
And mental health problems. And rather than saying you can save it, you can do it, you're like, oh, you can't do it. And hooray for you for saying, for being mediocre. We cherish and we applaud the mediocre people of the world. And but the last thing we want to do is have somebody shine. What do you think?
Exactly. And there was a foreshadowing of this message. First of all, it's always good to see you. Wherever I am, I love watching both of you. When I want to know what's really going on in Colorado, I check out Chuck and Julie. So what was I going to say?
Simone Biles.
The narrative was set before the Olympics because I noticed everything is politicized today, including tying your shoes.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. I have a couple of observations. One is the Olympics, much like the NFL, is the epitome of the opposite of communism and socialism that they're trying to inculcate on us. Yeah. It is the essence of competition, doing your best, being an individual, elevating yourself as better than someone else. They hate that stuff, right?
So
I noticed, I hardly watched the Olympics at all, but I did notice a commercial, which was just so out of the ordinary for the Olympics. I used to love watching the Olympics, but as we know, the left poisons everything they touch. And this, I was seeing commercials that show a woman stopping her race. This is before the Biles incident, stopping her race to help somebody who fell. You know, so she, I mean, this was a commercial. I tried to pull it up so I could play it on my station or on my show. And they're saying some things are more important than winning. Now, it all is feel good garbage, because does she think that there isn't anybody around to help that woman while she runs the race?
Right, exactly.
All of it is to glorify losing, to glorify mediocrity. Then we had an Arab who refused to, I guess, wrestle with an Israeli, so he dropped out. So he cleaved to the politics, and then we have Biles. Now, if we believe the narrative, and I never believe the narrative, never believe the narrative they tell you. It was the media that said she was a hero because she saved her team. She recognized she couldn't do it, so she dropped out. That is the epitome, again, of the exact opposite of the American spirit.
Right.
You can't know if you're going to lose unless you quit, then you lose.
Right.
That's America.
Right.
If you believe, and the funny thing is, there are people that I know who I thought were Christian conservatives who bought into this nonsense.
I know people do. It's exactly, this is what I think.
Stupid.
Of America needs to be forced to watch reruns of Star Trek and James T. Kirk, right? I mean, it's like, because that,
what?
I know, no one knows what I'm talking about, but it's like, like you never give up ever. And I mean, and that's the thing. There's a lot going on here, and you are so right about this, that, you know, like you said, the woman who stops to help the other person in the race, that'd be one thing if they were on a mountain trail and there's no one around.
It's virtue signaling in order to belittle competition.
Right.
And yet the media is making a fortune every time on the Olympics. So they're between a rock and a hard place because they want to do the right thing by their lefty people and their communism, but they're still, just like all communists, making money off the deal.
Right.
I pulled up a video about Never Quit. It was only 10 years ago that posted on my Facebook page. Did you see it?
No, but I think I've seen the videos like that.
A black runner who tore his hamstring. He broke it, whatever. And he demanded of himself that he finish the race. He knew he'd lose the race. His father comes out to help him. It was hard. And all those racist white people of 15 years ago stood up and cheered him.
Yeah.
Not only because of his stick-to-itiveness, his courage, his dad, everything the left hates. They hate families. They hate courage. They hate individual personal responsibility. And now let's stick a wrench in the works. Right.
Wait, no, before you do that, let me say, because I want to just submit that it also is aimed at one other thing, and that is religion. I think one of the places that this whole strive to be your best comes from, at least is the kind of stuff I was taught as a kid, that God has plans for you. God has the best planned for you. And if you seek out the best in your life, and if you do your best, and if you try your best, that's all part of God's.
God will be with you.
God will be with you. And that's all part of God's plan.
You have to do your part. I was just having this conversation before airtime.
Right.
My real estate agent, who happens to be a rabbi of all people. Real estate agent. And he said the same thing. You have to know what you have control over and what you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be so arrogant is to think you have control over everything, but you can't be so arrogant as to think you have no control over anything, because that's
And what a stupid message with the Olympics. Because one thing, I mean, I'm a girl, and I remember from, you know, way back when me and my other little girlfriends and growing up, and my daughter and her friends loved the gymnasts, right? Because in a way, it was something that every little girl has kind of done. Every little girl can relate to. And instead of telling him, get out there, do your best, I know it's tough, but you can do it, I believe in you, the message we're sending to our kids yet again is, hey, it's a good idea to fail. Don't rise above the rest. Be mediocre. Be like everybody else. Don't let your head stick up above the crowd.
It's selfish. It's selfish to do your best. It's racist.
Right.
It's white privilege to be competitive
and win.
You should be a fool and ignorant because that's what we think of minorities.
Right. Well, yeah. And it's like, and don't try to do your best and don't try to win and don't be brave. Don't be courageous. I mean, that's what we're telling them. I mean, and the same thing with schools. It's like, you know, I mean, in this whole COVID thing, the schools quit giving out grades. Now, I know they did that because they didn't want it reflected on the teachers. Right. It had nothing to do with the kids. But again, I think we're doing, because, and the other thing is in the real world, it doesn't really work like that, right? In the real world, the best salesman makes the most money, right? I mean, the best whatever, there is competition in the real world. So
well, in kids, the former real world of America, in the new American world, the government uses big businesses as their proxy to enforce laws that are unconstitutional on the public.
Yeah, that's right. So they'll take care of us. Okay, now go ahead, because Karen posed to me and I went, when she said this, your conspiracy theory on the Simone Biles situation.
I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory, but I will give the source because we're talk show hosts. We're allowed to speculate here.
Right.
And yet you always want, when you see something and people post it on my Facebook page or whatever, you try to verify it. You try to go out and say, is this true? Is this a lie? I don't know. But we're allowed. And this is how it changes things. And that everybody is ready to jump to conclusions. So what I say is, if she quit because, and I don't think she did, but if she quit because she didn't think she was going to win a gold, that's nothing to celebrate. Loss happens. You know, some people are so elevated, and especially because she does happen to be Black and she's bucking that system, that she can do no wrong. This girl is astounding as a gymnast. She's unbelievable. I've watched her. But people fail. We're human. And it isn't a sin to fail. It's a sin to stop trying. Right. So here's what someone sent me in this whole discussion. It says that... the world has gone, it said that the reason Simone Biles quit, do we have proof of this? We don't know, is that Black Lives Matter had been pressuring her and getting on her case that they knew she was going to win at least one or two or three, or last time she won five golds. So they were pressuring her that if she did not turn her back on the American flag, they were going to cancel her. They were going to make her life a living hell. So what in that situation, it turns her into a hero because she was willing to have people look at her badly in order not to roll over like most of the politicians in Washington for doing something she doesn't believe in.
Well, I guess I couldn't disagree with you more. I don't think that makes her the least bit of a hero. I mean, the fact that they wanted her to kneel, and she said, well, rather than kneeling, I'll just withdraw from the competition. That might have been pressure on her, but that's not the way to react to that pressure. You know, that doesn't make her a hero. Hey,
you know what? You're right. She's more of a hero for standing her ground.
Yes.
Right.
And maybe she didn't know what else to do under that much pressure. She's 24 years old. And
she makes millions of dollars.
You know, here's
she's
thing.
Set for the rest of her life. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
here's the thing though, that's interesting. Cause when
you're right,
talking about, when you kind of raise it, and as we said, we want to be clear, this is Facebook. Yeah. Of course we're banned from Facebook for spreading misinformation, you know, but anyway, what's interesting though. And I told Chuck, I said, what's interesting is, as you listen to that and you're like, you know, I could see that. Right? It's not like we're going,
And we've watched them do it. We've watched BLM do it. They have Jesse Jackson's race baiting down to a science.
Right.
Why do you think all those corporations gave millions of dollars so the woman, could buy four houses?
Right.
You know, like we don't have evidence that this is what they do. Plus, I must say, sorry, I get riled up here. And that is BLM, all of this is a psyop. The masks again, the vax passports, the lies, all of it is a psyop in order to make you think there's nothing you can do to stop these people. Yeah. And what do they use? They use the highest profile things they can get, which is why Simone Biles was the perfect target. She's Black, she's a star, and they knew she was going to win at least one or two or five golds. So they wanted the high profile nature.
Sure.
Because when propagandists do their propaganda, it's not for, I just said this to my husband, it's not for them, it's for us. Do you think those people sitting in solitary confinement because they attended a mostly peaceful rally and were let in to the people's house, do you think that's for them? No, it's for us.
Yes. This is what will happen to you.
You had better not go against the government or stand up against us. This is what's going to happen.
No, and you're right. And that's the message they send. I mean, I'm sure if this is true, and that's a big if, but I'm sure within
No. I mean, it's a practical matter. I'm sure.
Julie talk.
No, I'm always listening to Julie talk. I got to get the word in edgewise. I'd be shocked if it isn't at least partially true. I'm sure that Black Lives Matter tried to influence her and any teammates who might have had similar things tried to pressure. So
I'd
be shocked.
We've already seen it. Look at the people who said they wanted to win so they could burn the American flag.
Yeah, right.
Look at the people who are turning their back. It's not as if there isn't evidence for this. I think it's because most people just do not want to get their brain around the fact that we are under attack in this country writ large. We are under attack.
And we're under attack by people. We're under attack by a coalition of people with maybe individual different agendas, but all the same agenda. And that is to control us. I was having this conversation over coffee today. And I think you're absolutely right. And the biggest message they want to send to us is no matter who you are, you can be the greatest gymnast that ever existed. But if you don't do it our way, we will destroy you. You can be the Chuck and Julie show on KNUS. And if we don't like what you're going to say, we will destroy you. You could be whatever.
And they have to have their enablers, which in our case is Salem Corporation. Salem Corporation has to be sitting there kind of going, well, we got these calls about the Julio and Ann show, but I think we meant them, and they were unhappy, and therefore you're fired. I mean, you know.
Well, they always go after your greatest weakness. These people are using mob tactics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever you care about is what they go after. Let me give you an example of something I didn't expect to talk about on my show today. Right before airtime, my husband's best friend, who stood up, you know, was our best man at our wedding. His brother has a very serious disease. He now has COVID. His wife has COVID. They're putting him in a forced coma. This man is severely ill, okay? And I agree with you. I don't trust anything the people who've been lying to us for 18 months tell us. But here's the heartbreaker. This is a man, our friend, who did not take the vaccine and agrees with many other people. And it's nobody's business whether you did. They will not let him see his brother on his deathbed unless he gets a vaccine.
What?
And this is emotional blackmail.
Let me back you
up. And he's going to take that vaccine because he's a decent guy. And that means his elderly father could lose two sons instead of one. I am livid about it.
Oh, and again, and so they want to force the son, if he wants to go see his dying father, right?
Brother.
Go see his dying brother. They won't let him see him unless he takes the vaccine.
Wait a minute. Did they give him ivermectin and all the cocktail?
No. Look, I don't know. Yeah. No. His brother has MS or MD or whatever.
Unrelated to COVID.
Unbelievably ill. Okay. He probably, God forbid, would have stood to die if he got it because he has no immune system at all.
Oh, all right.
His brother, our friend, is healthy, was ready to go on a fishing trip with him in another state, and is being told that unless he takes the vaccine and submits to something he does not want, he will not be able to see his brother and say goodbye. This is outrageous.
Why should he take the vaccine? Because, okay, that's, so that's clarified. His brother is not going to survive.
No.
If he gives him the virus, right? And I got to assume all the hospital workers have probably been vaccinated. So everyone around there has been vaccinated. So theoretically, they have nothing to fear from him if he doesn't have the vaccine. They're solely doing it because they can. And because, like you said, they've got him over the barrel there.
And it's just as we said 18 months ago, if you comply to this, it will get worse and worse and worse. We were the, what do you call, Paulette Revere's, trying to tell people that if you bow to this, it'll only get worse. Do you think, I mean, and I've asked people, it just is amazing to me. In Texas, people are starting to wear masks again.
Oh, you're kidding.
They're not even wearing them in Denver. You know, and here Charlene is saying, yes, Karen, you're right. You know, PSYOPs are everywhere. The DC jails are more about using those people to send us a message than they are to anybody else. And for politics too. On that note though, here's one positive note, and I'm sorry about your friend, but to address Charlene's thing.
I love positive notes.
I know. The thing is, Charlene, is fortunately it's not working. Did you see their new surveys out that show after those stupid non-cop cops testified and cried and stuff like that, that more people now
blame Biden.
Now blame Biden. Fewer people blame Trump.
And more blame Biden.
And more people think that they should investigate the Black Lives Matter riots than that. I mean, they don't even care anymore. So
why do you think they need to control who counts the votes?
Yes.
They know they're governing against the will of the people. Right. And the only way they get rid of it, get away with it, is if they can look, they jumped the shark with the mask mandates. That was clear. That was clearly the shot heard across the bow that said, we are now your betters, and you serve us. We no longer serve you. And it is amazing to me how few people understood that when it happened.
Yeah, they do now. Well, listen, we've got to let you go because we got to move on to Tom Tancredo. Karen, as always, you're great. Where can I can't even keep track of all the shows you're on. So where can people hear you and follow you?
You can get everything at my website, KarenCataline.com. Everyone knows how to spell my name. And I do Spouting Off Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And you can get the link at KarenCataline.com. Great. I wish you both a very happy, great weekend. And
thank you.
You are the best happy warriors next to my husband that I know.
You too,
bad things get. You're always cheerful and you're always joking. And I love you both.
All right.
Love you too.
We'll see you later. Thank you for your time. Karen Cataline, guys, check it out. If you haven't listened to our show, Spouting Off, it's great.
Just get it.
You can get all the links at KarenCataline.com.
Well, let's talk about another person we love. And that's
Tom Tancredo.
Tom Tancredo, Mr. Grassroots, the one, I think, hero Colorado's produced in the conservative, truly conservative side. And he sort of remains that.
And, I mean, today. Before Tom Tancredo was like the original warrior, right?
Yeah.
So he's with us now. Hey, Tom. So we just said all these wonderful things about you. Hello. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, sure. Except I noticed you didn't add happy to that.
Oh, you're happy.
Just a warrior. Come on. I'm always happy.
Well, for folks who don't know it, there's a war going on in the Republican Party.
The Colorado
Republican Party.
Yeah.
Between the grassroots and the establishment. And it's been going on for 20, 30 years, at least. But now it's come down to a particular issue of whether we ought to opt out of state-run, Democratic-run primaries and have the Republicans run their own primary. And it's just amazing. I've been going around the state along with a band of happy warriors, every corner of the state to try to convince the people.
The only way anybody's going around with you and being happy is if you're all getting loaded at the same time.
Well, that was part of it. That was significant part of it.
I know. I got to say, I digress. The fact that they have all remained good friends and all still like each other after is somewhat amazing, actually.
Something weird about that.
But it's amazing. So we've been working in the vineyards for months. And the establishment has ignored us, But all of a sudden, they must have gotten word that we're really catching on, because in comes the flack. They bring out John Caldera, who's not a Republican, to tell us that the Republicans are on the verge of victory. And if we after lost every election since we did open primary starting in 2016.
But Tom, we're this close to beating Polis.
Yeah, we
and Bennett and Hickenlooper.
Bennett and taking back back
even
everything.
Diana DeGette. We've got a chance at Diana DeGette.
So if we can just keep on doing like we have and keep on losing, we'll be all set. And the real killer to it, one's the elections integrity thing, because kind of like, hey, guys, you cannot trust the Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold. You cannot trust her to do anything that isn't partisan. You want her running your primary? You have to be crazy. But what they've done, their newest and greatest thing is to run in very conservative districts, pick out a rhino, and then pour money in from
Democrat
New York,
money.
Democrat money from Catherine Murdoch under the title Unite Colorado, and then elect rhinos will be bipartisan. And apparently, they've come up with the one for Lauren Boebert. The Denver Post, just Megan Schrader said, we need to support a reasonable candidate, a reasonable moderate conservative in CD6 against Lauren Boebert, CD3. And they'll pour millions into it. They'll pour millions, and they won't pour
millions.
And
that's why they don't want, one of the reasons they don't. Tom, you have joined the cause, though. I mean, and so why don't you tell us your thoughts on all of this?
Sure. Well, it's because we really do not have a Republican and a Democrat party in this state. We have a Republicrat party and conservatives. And the truth of that is what you just described a minute ago about what happened here in the last election, where a bunch of money was poured into to Republican districts where we had Republican incumbents who were extremely conservative, who were leaving office, being replaced by other conservatives, so that in fact nobody was afraid that the Republicans would lose that seat. But they were afraid that the conservative would win. So they pumped. So you couldn't even use the excuse that they were doing it to try and save the seat for Republicans. No, it wasn't. That's why I say we don't have a Republican Party, so to speak, not at any level, and certainly not administratively. So I can remember when I ran 100 years ago for the state legislature, and the same time I ran and was elected in 1975, a guy by the name of Al Micheljohn was elected. Went in on the House side. He went in on the Senate side from Arvada. Now, he had been a Democrat all of his life. He changed to a Republican to run for that seat. And he was on the school board. And he was, of course, the darling of the CEA. So what happened was you have the unions go out full blast for him because they weren't going to elect probably a Democrat. But they did. He changed to Republican. He ran. The unions supported him and the liberal Republicans. Hence, he won. And from that point on, he was in office. And he was the, of course, worst enemy of school choice, the worst enemy of any school reform, and a total lackey for the teachers union. But he stayed there forever because he had the combination of teachers union and liberal Republican. So that is the way they do it. And it's a brilliant strategy, but you're right. It goes back many, many years. And so certainly I have been fighting it for a long time. This idea now that we have an open primary, it's not open. Indeed, what has happened is that you have the Republicrats party and the conservatives.
Right.
And that's about it. So they have figured out a way. And, you know, when it's just amazing to me in a way. One of the reasons, remember, when this whole thing was debated, and by the way, Mr. House, who was the chairman of the Republican Party at the time, went down to the state legislature and testified in favor of the bill.
Yeah, It's like, yeah, if the Democrats are for it, we should just know. We're like Lucy.
Well, Steve House was the chairman of the Republican Party. That's
well,
the
I
problem.
Know, yeah. I know. It's like, hello.
Yeah. And of course, the bill failed in the Republican Senate, but then that's why they put it on the ballot. When right. they and now it's so what do we do about it? Well, I agree completely that the party should simply say, well, thank you very much for your input and all this, but we are running a Republican primary, and that's and those are the only people that can vote in it. And so what are you going to do about it? Well, they're going to take you to court.
Right.
In everything I have seen, everything I've read so far, the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court in the year 2000, and right. then I think California and New Mexico Supreme Court,
Utah, I think it was
all
Utah.
Three, was it Utah? Yeah. All three, anyway, have come down on the side of closed primaries being absolutely fine. So how right. do they, how do these guys want to get around it? By saying, well, we can have a closed primary, you just need 75%.
Yeah, everybody and their mother
of course,
has to
that's
vote.
Ridiculous.
Right.
No, it's ridiculous. Well, and, it's not going to happen. They know it.
And it must be gaining traction, as Charlene noted, because all of a sudden in the Gazette, Colorado Politics, Colorado Peak Politics, Complete Colorado, all of these websites, and on radio, John Caldera, they're all running these columns, and they're wrong. They're, I mean, not even wrong. They're spreading deliberately and intentionally misinformation about it. But keep in mind, guys, when you look at these things where they're talking, it's all like these shots are being fired, but they're all coming from the same gun, and that's Phil Anschutz. All of these organizations are largely funded by Phil Anschutz. The only organization that's also against it is funded by the consultants who are the ones making money. So it, don't be fooled. It gives the impression there's all this opposition to it, but there's not. The only opposition to it are from the establishment Republicans and the consultants, all of whom are making money off of this.
And quite frankly, the Republican Party of Colorado wouldn't have, doesn't have very much money, but it wouldn't have any if it wasn't for Phil Anschutz. But that doesn't make it any better when you turn the Republican Party into, and it will be, a basically a Democratic light party whose only purpose is to give bipartisan support, quote unquote bipartisan support, to an incredibly more radical left-wing ideas. It's like this
exactly
it's,
right.
It's you know what it's and amazing to me. Go ahead, sorry, Tom.
I was going to say that remember that one of the things that was said during the debate on this was that, and especially by people like Terry and others that put in all that money, is that this will help encourage moderation on both right. sides. We won't get as conservatives. As hardcore conservatives from the Republicans right. or as left-wing lunatics from the Democrats. Well, of course, right. that is only true on, it was only true on
yeah.
one side.
Look how that turned out for yeah. us. Money yeah. That worked well.
They put into it. Yeah, exactly. They knew, I mean, these guys, damn, they are so good. They yes. are yes. so smart.
Yes. Right.
So willing to put in so much money. That's the most, from my point of view, the most depressing thing about the whole debate is that we are not really working with a like a solid Republican Party that
right.
that recognizes its own principles and, no. and will work for them and articulate them. No, we are just working with a group of people who want to be in office, share power, but really and truly, they don't want to be a conservative party. No. They don't like it. And
no.
so that's where we stand. We, however many conservatives there are, have to face off against all of the Democrats and the liberals that put all the money into those campaigns. It's a very discouraging thing.
Well, yes. I was, you know, got elected to the executive committee, which is like a board of directors in Colorado. And I was truly shocked how far left some of them are. I mean, they are left. You know, they went when they're in public, they talk. You know,
look at Ryan Call.
Stuff. Sure. Well, Ryan Call is a perfect example. Two
I mean, he stole
chairman.
Money from the Trump campaign yeah. and endorsed Joe Biden. Oh, there.
That's there are a lot of other Ryan Calls in there right now.
Yeah,
they haven't just Ryan Call wasn't the only lefty that's there, and the perfect example is this Initiative 25, where it's a boom to, it's a money tree for of $150 yeah. million to $500 million a year to be run by a board of board that is appointed by POLIS, and then it appoints itself.
It's for the kids, though, Chuck.
It's for the kids. Right. And you get people like Luke Ragland. You get of Ready Colorado and the Daniels Fund. You get the former governor Owens who supports it. You get John Andrews who supports it. Christy Burton Brown supports it. And you kind of go, where in this? And they say, well, it's school choice. The only school choice is you get to pick out which Democratic provider you want to choose. That's your school choice.
And so
you can just look at the list of the people who are supporting that and kind of go, do we have a conservative party in Colorado? When you got the one living governor, Republican governor supporting it, you got the head of the party supporting it.
But here's, let me ask you this, because I think there is some hope, because I think what's happened here, and that's why we're seeing this attack against this operation. Oh, before I do this, I want to give everybody, don't just take our word for this. Go to Dave Williams and some of his guys have set up a great website on this. It's called electionintegrityfight.com. Just went up last night, electionintegrityfight.com.
And there's another one that's been out there for a while. It's a great source of information. It's mycoloradogop.org.
So those
ColoradoGOP.org.
And an electionintegrityfight.com. And that kind of lays it out for you. One other thing, Tom, though, that I think is good, and I know you've been fighting this like your entire career. I'm surprised that, you know, you aren't like, I don't know what, down in a beach somewhere just saying, forget the whole thing. So thank you for continuing the fight. But these guys are fighting back. I mean, I think that they expected the Colorado Republicans, the conservatives who are behind this, to roll over and play dead.
And when
John Caldera went on Peter Boyle, sort of go, oh no, John Caldera says he doesn't like it, we better shut up.
I've got a new resolution for the executive committee, and I'm gonna suggest that they spend no small amount of money to hire Peter Boyles and John Caldera as their consultants.
Yeah.
And then do the exact opposite of whatever they recommend. Whatever Peter recommends, just do the exact opposite.
Right.
I mean, because he is, other than supporting Tom, all he ever does is criticize the Republican Party and then tell us what to do, though he says he hates the Republican Party. Why would you want to listen to a guy who says, I hate Republicans. Now, here's what you ought to do. Here's what you ought to do. Don't follow the Bond Daddies, except Peter follows the Bond Daddies. Don't, you know, do what all the rich guys want you to do or don't want you to do. I mean, I love Peter. You know, he's a friend for 20 years, but kind of like he's gone down a dark hole.
Me too. No, he's a great guy. I really do. I must admit, I don't listen because I don't get up that early. So therefore, I can say to you, that's right. I don't listen to him. But
but what about, though? I do
not
think, though.
It's not just, I just don't because, you know, it's way too early.
But I like John Caldera. He was kind enough to have me on Devil's Advocate and everything else. But once again, he represents the donors,
right.
The few donors that give money to the Republican Party, support the Independence Institute and support Complete Colorado and support, you know, caucus room and everything else. And so I guess if all I ever got was my money from.
See, we talked about this before. They need to give us money. That's
I went to him, I don't know how many times. I can't tell you how many times over the course of the last 10 or more years to beg him to help on school choice issues, and never would he. And in fact, he was truthful at one point during our conversations about it. He said, I can't do that. You know, my board, they don't agree with it, and I can't come out in favor of it. Now, I mean, if you're a think tank and in Colorado and a conservative one, I mean, and you can't talk about school choice, what the hell does this tell you?
And that's a good point. Yeah.
So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Being where you are on the committee and all that,
right.
Do you think you have 50% plus one? Is that what you would need for a resolution that says we are going to just simply have a closed primary?
Well, we'll need, under the law, I mean, under the unconstitutional law, you need 75%.
You need 75. But what if you just said, no, I realize that what that law says, and that you'd have to, but see, then if you passed it with 51%, let's just say you passed it,
right,
and had 51%, and so and you proceed down that path. I mean, you've got a majority,
right,
if you have a majority of the Republican Central Committee committed to it, you move down that path. Okay, they say no, they stop you, they want to sue. All right, fine. I mean, it's going to go to court one way or the other, but then you could really, you know, look for a good, I don't know, constitutional lawyer, or this guy, I don't know, what's his name? Anyway, I might be talking to him right now, but somebody should offer their advice and for free and pro bono work.
Yeah.
Chuck,
so what you're suggesting, Tom, is, let me see if I get it straight. The actual law says in order to officially opt out, they need 75%, which, like Chuck has indicated, is probably unconstitutional. What you're saying is play kind of the same way that Democrats do, pass a resolution with a majority, just about 51%, 50 plus one, saying we support this, and then start going down that road, because then you could turn around and say, hey, look, the Republican Party supports this. Let's go ahead and challenge what we all believe to be an unconstitutional law.
That probably would be possible if Christy Burton Brown were a conservative, but
you have to have somebody let you in.
If you have a majority of the Central Committee, Chuck, if you have the majority, then
right,
it seems to me you can move ahead. Now, there'll be fights and all that sort of thing, undeniably, but so they bring a lawsuit. Well, it's going to have to go that way anyway. And right, and we have a pretty good, I think, if you look at the court history, Supreme Court, other state courts, I think we have a pretty good chance of winning.
Well, I think that's a good idea.
You're hearing sausage being made as we speak. Tom Tancredo. Fortunately, none of the rhinos listen to this show, so they won't know about your strategy. But well, because here's the thing, Tom. I suspect you're right. I suspect that they might well have a majority, which is why all of a sudden the rhino establishment folks are attacking it. I mean, they wouldn't be attacking it
because you're talking about sausages, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. They will try to say, okay, we're not going to have a vote if there's not 75% attendance on September 18th. And what we're going to do, I think, going down your line, saying, great, then we'll have a meeting. We get to set up under Article 7 of the bylaws our own meeting if we have 125, and I assure you have 125. So when they try to deny us a vote, then we're going to move to have our own meeting of the Central Committee.
Yeah.
And say, well, we're going to vote on this. We don't care what Christy does. You know, here she and Peter Boyles can do whatever they like.
Well, they can't come because they're not Republicans, though. So, Tom, let me kind of just, because we're starting to run out of time. For folks, it's like one of the problems with this issue, it's very much in the weeds. It is, which is why we're seeing them fight so hard against it, them being the establishment, non-conservative Colorado Republican parties and the donors and the consultants is, I agree with John Caldera about one thing, and that is the future of the Colorado Republican Party is at stake. We've lost 22,000 registered Republicans since January.
They were right on the edge of winning, you know, just if we can get down to zero Republicans.
We will never win again in this state. I mean, forget the country, but don't you think that's true, that this is a crucial topic, I think?
Well, sure, I do too. And the fact that for once, I mean, if possible that you can get a majority of that Central Committee to take a stand on this issue, it's a very important point that is being made to conservatives throughout the state. And so we've got to win them back that way. Otherwise, yes, of course, why would they fight? Why would they argue? Why would you support? You know, they're going to do everything they possibly can to get rid of every conservative Republican that possibly exists out there in an elected office.
Yes.
So it seems to me that you make a really good point by passing it if you possibly can. I'm not sure what happens after that. I mean, certainly if it's really moving that way, there'll be a court case and that sort of thing. But I'm telling you, it's a great point to debate, and it seems to me that it's it makes them it sets up a marker that is an excellent one.
I think we've officially adopted the
Tom Tancredo
strategy
gambit
sausage.
Oh my God!
The Tancredo gambit.
We're sunk.
All right. All right. No, Tom. Any other brilliant ideas? Feel free to text us.
Yeah, sure.
For the team.
I'll pass them right along. But
okay.
All right. Hey, Tom.
About this in public.
We got to let you go. Thank you for your
thank
time
you
and
so
your
much,
help.
Tom.
Hey, sure. Good luck, guys.
Have a great weekend. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for us. I want to say thank you to Karen, Mark, and Tom. Thank you for everybody listening on Zoom. We love having you on Zoom. Want to remind folks you can catch all of our shows live or later at chuckandjulie.com. Also, again, we're not on YouTube. Never will be again. We're too dangerous. They don't want us giving you any information. But you can get us on Rumble if you like to see it. And also at BBS Radio. So just follow
just all. Just go to chuckandjulie.show.com. You can get us anytime.
Get us in. No, just, yeah, Chuck and Julie. Julie.com. Chuck doesn't even know our website. Chuckandjulie.com. Hey,
that's
everybody.
It was chuckandjulie.com.
That's it.
That's it. No more.
More sausage being made. Yeah. Hey, everybody, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Mark Poff filling in for us on Monday. We'll be back on Wednesday. Have a great weekend.